Seattle, Portland, LA, San Fran, San Diego, Scottsdale, Phoenix. This is Kay Wynn.
And Big Ben.
And we are Western Standard Time. WSD Podcast. We're everywhere online. Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. What do we talk about, Ben?
We got all sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, Pac-12, WCC. If it's on the West Coast, we got you covered.
You know what else we got you covered? A little lifestyle, a little fun, a little banter to lighten up your day. There are five-minute life guides.
So whether you live in Seattle, Kansas City, Frisco, Texas, Boston, Worcester, Florida, and you love West Coast sports, make sure you follow us, download us. New episode every Friday.
Welcome to WST, your West Coast source for sports. I'm your host, Kay Wynn.
And this is Big Ben.
And we're in LA, coming to you live.
Let's talk a little bit about what happens. It's prevalent amongst sports, no matter if you're in football, basketball, baseball. It's the IR, it's the DL, it's what do I do when I'm hurt?
It's the training room. It's the doctor. It's the training table. It's the hot tub.
The doctor at some point becomes the most important person on the team, it feels like.
Yeah.
What's the assessment? Are they that hurt? Is it MCL, ACL? Is it just a high ankle sprain? What does it become?
This is very relevant as Steph Curry broke his wrist, Klay Thompson knee injury. Durant last year in the finals came back from injury.
Remember when? I unfortunately got the hereditary gene where I have horrible bunions. The doctor came to me and goes, you should break your toe. We'll set it correctly and you'll be good to go.
His advice was to break your toe.
The advice of my doctor was, let's break your toe, set it correctly, and you'll be good for the rest of your life. My mother's bunions are stronger than this guy's orthopedic, whatever he did with me. But I sat there and I go, okay, I got to sit out a baseball season. I'm going to come back. Luke Ridenour.
Yeah. Former Oregon Duck.
Former Oregon Duck, former NBA player for the Bucks, for the Sonics. He was playing a summer league game. I was probably a good month out of recovery.
Yeah.
I'm playing. Took off the boot.
All right.
Said, I'm going to guard Luke straight up.
Do you catch him on a pick and roll?
I did.
No switch. No switch. I got him.
I couldn't even.
No help.
I was limping all around the court. Looked like Lurch out there. Lesson learned. Recover well. And that's what I think you see amongst every NBA player, NFL player.
What did Luke do? Break your ankle?
Close. I think they won like 58-24.
How nice was he in high school?
So back in the day, we would have tournaments at Western Washington University, which had this kind of like arc about him, or even like it was almost as though Luke would attract so many people that you had to like, you couldn't sit in the seats. And this was like AAU.
Is he Oregon High School or Washington High School?
Washington. He went to Blaine, small school. So a lot of people would come up and they'd sit in this like ancillary area above the court. And then, because you couldn't fit, there was two courts.
Yeah.
But when Luke was playing, they would clear out both courts and say, Luke's playing. So then they'd have the entire court so that people could watch him play. He was that good. Wow. That good. Curly haired. He was nice.
Yeah. Could shoot the three, cross it up.
He was good. NBA career. I guarded an NBA player on a broken foot for 10 minutes. 10 seconds.
And then he tore your ACL.
He did.
You never came back.
You got to remember when?
I got one remember when, and then I got another story. So, sixth grade, monkey bars, after soccer practice. Older brother was like, hey, you can touch this. I jump up, miss the monkey bars, break my right hand, miss the whole soccer season.
Wait,
in a cast.
Because of your hand?
I broke my arm. I felt I had the monkey bar. I slipped and then I just fell on my right arm.
Wait, explain this, because you don't need your arms to play soccer.
They wouldn't let me play with a cast. I'm physical when I'm out there.
It was one of those hard casts?
It was a hard cast.
Okay, so where it had like the wrap and yeah. It was like clay.
It was like a claw. It was like Clay Matthews in his prime. Just hitting people with his claw.
So wait, you're out sixth grade.
I'm out.
You rebound?
I rebound. I come back. And I'm just shooting just to score goals. Just to get back. I'm not a team player. I'm a me player. Came back on fire. I was kicking corner kicks. I was trying to corner the ball in to get...
No.
Yeah.
You just bend it like Beckham?
Yeah, I was a selfish soccer player.
I was a toe puncher, too. Line me up. I'm shooting from 40 yards out.
It was like FOMO. I couldn't play. All these people were scoring goals, and all I wanted to do back was score goals, which I should have, in hindsight, been there to help the team build back the momentum, but I was just... You wanted to be the star.
You should have clubbed people with your...
I should have. Looking back on it, I should have played.
You should have. Like, ran out there, like, you know, put a little...
Our team doctor, when I was six, should have been fired. The coach should have been fired. How is your best player not playing the games?
True. Who's the who's a world-renowned doctor?
James Andrews for baseball.
For baseball? Yeah. I feel like there's a guy that was the Redskins guy for a long time.
Maybe. You're probably right. I can't remember.
But you'd like fly in like, hey, I got a hangnail. Let me fix this. Khalil Tate in the next flight to duels.
But injuries are real, whether you're in sixth grade, whether you're playing AAU, you're in high school.
So
did you ever have a serious injury?
So I had two, and they both occurred at the same time or the same way. I slip on. I can't walk on ice. I'm top heavy. Twice. One time I slipped, fifth grade. We're going to a championship.
Well, first of all, you're supposed to put on ice skates when you walk on ice.
Easy. Winter tournament, I'm top heavy. I gorged on McDonald's quite a bit when I was younger. Slipped up, broke my leg, and the teacher came out. She goes, you're faking. I go, and this was the first time I think I've used an expletive in front of a woman. I said, I'm not bleeping, faking.
Wow.
Call the ambulance. And the ambulance came, and the ambulance guys wouldn't come get me. They said they had to usher me away from the black ice. Because there's black ice on the playground. The sun didn't set.
Wow. Oh, coach, so they didn't want to come on the black ice because they would have slipped.
Right. So I'm out there. I was actually headed down and like kiss this girl like on the swings. Ended with a broken leg. So I've done that twice in my life. I slipped twice.
What was her name?
Carissa. Actually. With a K. But yeah. So that's my IR. That's the only real injuries I've ever had. Actually, the other one came when I was drinking too much at Steve's wedding. And I tried to like walk down to the water.
Your realtor, Steve?
Realtor Steve. Steve Snyder. And I walked down and I like had grasp and I slipped down and I tweaked my shoulder. But hopefully I'm through that. Didn't put me on the IR. I'll still be able to play.
Here's my question. There are people that get hurt a lot. There are people that get labeled with injury bug or they're soft. Do you think people have a lower tolerance of pain than other people?
I think, honestly, it comes down to how much do you value yourself? And I say this because there are people like Clay, right? I'll sit out a year. It's not going to detriment me. I'll be fine. But then there's also players in like the NFL. If I don't play, I don't get paid, right? So it's different in every league.
Yeah.
But for someone like, say, I think your example is going to be Clay or people that have just said, I don't want to come back this year. There's less of an incentive because they know that if they come back, get hurt again, that's only going to diminish their value on the free market. Yeah. In terms of if you're a free agent, if you're looked at, you don't want to be injury prone. You want to be ready to go. And a lot of it comes down to knee injuries. Like we've seen ankles, knees, it's, you know, you tear a pec, you can come back in football, strap them up, get ready to go. But
there's players that I feel are always injured.
Like
Allen Iverson But he played, he always played ankle, finger, toe, elbow. He always played. And then there's other players that just kind of are always hurt but don't play. So does he have a higher tolerance for pain than others?
I think he has a there. I think there's people that maybe come out of a program like Georgetown, maybe. I don't know if that's where you went to college, and that kind of sets the expectation and the foundation of, okay, I'm going to play through pain. But yeah, it's also the fact that I think AI just wanted to prove a point. I'm the toughest SOB on the court.
No matter what.
No matter what. I will, Patrick Ewing, I will try to dunk on you. That type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And it, when it comes to baseball, especially guaranteed contracts, I mean, there's some sort of wavering, like, all right, do I go out and try to play?
Yeah.
But I mean, there's not many baseball injuries that come into play that are similar to other sports where it's knees, it's
baseball, it's usually obliques because you're swinging too hard. It's a hammy because you didn't train properly in the off season and you're running to first base. And
you just got done eating hammy. You just got done eating butter cake at Mastro's. you thought you could run out a tapper on third base. You're sprinting down, came up lame. I mean, there is that, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's the thing that you run into in baseball is that a lot of time it's, you're right, you're not training properly, you're not taking the game seriously, and the minute you slip is the minute you end up on IR. But yeah, I don't, the ramifications of being on IR in baseball aren't as big in other sports.
Because it's guaranteed money.
It's guaranteed money, one. And then you have 162 games to create a resume.
Yeah.
Where in other like basketball, you have 82 games, right? You, in football, you have even less. You have 16 games. So if you're not out there on the field or on the court, the likelihood of your monetary return of you not being there is significantly less. Whereas in baseball, yeah, it's, you know, if you take 15 games off, no one's going to notice.
Well, and to add on to your point, in baseball, if you have guaranteed money over 5 or 6 years, there, it's going to be very hard to get rid of you. But in football, see ya.
You're gone. Right.
You know, like, you don't want to play this week. You can't play. Hurt or not hurt, I got to move on.
So there's Bobby Wagner's a predominant, obviously, NFL linebacker right now. I think, for the Seahawks, and his whole regimen, like, is the same thing every day, day in, day out. I eat the same oatmeal. I eat the same, you know, whatever for lunch. I do the same green juice. And that's prescriptive, right? That's, yeah, someone that's bought in. Other people come in and they just want their talent to win out. And as soon as an injury happens, they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So you have guys like Bobby Wagner, who's a, you know, the consummate professional. And then you have people that just, you know, think they're going to make it by running a 4.440 or 4.340, and then money's going to show up.
Yeah.
That's not the case in the NFL. Baseball is a little different. If you had a hot right arm or a hot left arm, it can make you a lot of money. Basketball, you know, you can find a spot. You can shoot the three. And honestly, that's what I'd love to be. Just a guy that just shoot three.
Kyle Korver.
Oh, my gosh. J.J. Redick.
Yeah. Ray Allen.
Oh, just
remember, Ray Allen was awesome, like, dynamic, great player. And then he just stuck around because when his athletic ability went a little bit,
right,
he just was just a knockdown three-point shooter.
And that's what you appreciate, right? Find your way and
find your niche.
Find your niche, one, and then the likelihood that you get injured is less because,
yeah,
you know who you are. You train towards that, and I think the likelihood of you ending up on the disabled list or IR is less.
I like it. You want to get into our next segment?
While you're sleeping?
Welcome back. WST Podcast, Big Ben and Kay Wynn. You know what we broke down while you were sleeping? The top 5 athletes that got injured and it affected their career.
It's not affected their career. I would say limited their potential.
Ooh, I like that better. The top 5 athletes that limited their potential after injury.
Right. And number 5, Jay Williams. Let's talk about this. So Jay.
We're not talking about Jason, the guy who played for the Nets and shot up some people.
No, we're talking about Jay Williams from Duke.
ESPN.
ESPN, probably number one recruit. I think I watched him come out and cross over like four guys in the initial game. I think because he was acclaimed. Duke's preseason games are almost as big as...
Duke plays more on TV than the Yankees.
Yes, you're correct. And so Jay, he would tell yourself, like, I was probably the top point guard in the country until I got hurt. And he never recovered from that.
Well, so he was freshman of the year. Junior year, he was player of the year. Junior of the year, he beat Arizona in the national championship game. Duke with Battier and Dunleavy played U of A, Arenas, Jefferson, Luke Walton, Jason Gardner, and Duke won. And then Jason Williams went on to get drafted by the Bulls. And then he decided to take a motorcycle ride, one that I think he probably regrets. Severe nerve damage to his leg, fractured his pelvis, and could no longer play for the Bulls back in 2003.
Oof.
Yeah.
And he's, what I will say about Jay, he's probably one of the more contextual, intelligent commentators that I've seen around basketball. And I speak like Jay right now, or it's kind of hot, right? You assume that number four, Sandy Koufax. So if anyone's ever played baseball, they will tell you that Sandy Koufax probably had the most talent of any pitcher they've ever seen.
Yes.
But it just didn't come to fruition. Sandy Koufax League. I played in Sandy Koufax League. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But for the short time that he did pitch in the majors for the Dodgers, was probably the most impressive pitcher of all time.
I agree. So his injury, 1966. Yeah, we're going back to the 60s, folks. Arthritic elbow caused him to no longer pitch. He was done once he got diagnosed. But before that happened, he had 40 shutouts. He had two games of 18 plus strikeouts. He won the ERA title five times, and he had three Cy Youngs, and he didn't even pitch through his career.
That's, and I think that's why they started building fields based on, and Sandy Koufax is, I would say, the interesting part about him is he was so good early in his career that it wasn't a stretch. He probably could have qualified for the
Hall. Is he in the Hall?
He absolutely
He should be based on those stats. I mean, or his baseball field.
I mean, or his baseball league. Number three.
Ooh.
Deep in my heart.
Deep in my heart.
Kind of look like this guy.
I kind of play like this guy.
A little step back.
Yeah.
A little nice. So Brandon Roy out of Garfield High School. He had an older brother named Ed Roy.
Really? So was Ed Roy good at hoops?
Ed Roy was mean. Very mean. So
who would win in one-on-one? Ed Roy or Jeff Hodges?
It'd be a battle.
Hodges would D him up.
Hodges would D him up. He'd end up in the first row after one hip check. I will say this. So I played, when I say played, so I played sophomore year in the MLK Classic, which is held at Key Arena each year of the Seattle Metro teams.
They have the same thing in the Bay Area where the top teams in the Bay Area play together. I'm assuming
it's
the same
thing. So Mount Vernon got invited.
Money earning Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon got invited one year. And this was my sophomore year. And we were going to play Garfield. And I got put in the game for, I think, maybe a minute.
Okay.
Maybe a minute. But I had the opportunity to guard Brandon Roy.
Are you telling me Luke Ridnow blew out your left knee, B-Roy blew out your right knee?
That would be a story to tell.
Very close.
All right. So you're on B-Roy. No switch, straight up.
No, he got the ball. He was.
Did he smile when he got the ball?
No,
he didn't. did he wink at you when he got the ball?
So
he said, son, you want me to go left? You want me to go right?
Now that I think about it, I don't even think I got in the game. This might have been against Lincoln. Nonetheless, so Brandon Roy comes in, and I think there was like, so Ed was the face of the school. Garfield's a very... like well-known school.
Everyone knows about it for hoops.
Yeah, for hoops. So Ed is a beast, absolute beast. And so here comes his little brother. Everyone's, you know, going crazy. And Brandon becomes better than Ed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I think Ed went to Eastern Washington University. Brandon obviously went to UW. Yeah. Ed acclaimed career on there. But then he went and played for Portland, which he was Dame before Dame.
Yeah. I would say he's even, he was bigger and stronger.
He's not better than Dame. Let me say this. He wasn't better than Dame at his peak. So Dame is better than Brandon.
Ooh, I would beg to differ. No. 2007 rookie of the year, he was a 6'7". He could post up. I feel like if Dame is not hitting that outside shot, B-Roy could get it from the outside. He could drive. He could post up.
Here's my thing. I would put Dame closer to CJ than I would, or excuse me, I'd put Brandon closer to CJ than I would closer to Dame.
I would put Brandon number one, Dame two, CJ three.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Brandon was nice.
Brandon was nice, but I will say this. Dame over time has been more clutch. And Brandon, I will forgive him for this, but he took Portland as his team.
Yeah.
Especially after, I think he looked at it as, I'm still in the Pac Northwest. There's still allegiance behind me. I'm going to leverage this as much as I can. And people loved him in Portland.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved him. And the knee injuries, he came back and coached at Nathan Hale.
2010, 2011, surgeries on both knees. But before that, he got hurt with the left knee and then both. It's just the knee injuries. By the way, have you seen Dame's commercials on ESPN?
No.
So his calendar is up, Microsoft calendar up. His legs are back. And all day long, it's Dame time.
I have, yeah.
Sorry, it's Linda Dame time.
Linda Cohen's comes up and she goes, hey, do you have a time around 10 o'clock? She goes, hold on. No, that's Dame time.
She's like, but it seems like it's always Dame time.
Dame's got this thing going. Brandon Roy, I will say this, in stack rank of Portland players,
okay.
I think allegiance. If I found someone that said I'm a very rich Portland Trailblazers fan, they would tell you probably that Dame's eclipsed.
I get it. Well, he's played longer, and he took them to the NBA Finals or NBA Western Conference Finals. So yeah, I hear you. I'll give you that one.
All right, number two, close to me.
Face of the Mariners from 1989 to 2000. The kid.
Griffey, I don't know if the injury really affected him.
It did for later on in his career. It was hamstring. It was knee. It was wrist. It was when he was out of Seattle, so
right.
we didn't claim him.
I think it's he might have tried to play too much golf. That could have contributed to it. But nonetheless, I think the Griffey, I mean, he was probably the best player of his time during his years. And the thing about Griffey is he would probably tell you, I tried to chase my father's legacy a little bit. And coming back to Cincinnati, and I think we've looked at our stats his stats in the past, is that he was such a predominant player in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to Cincinnati, I mean, he didn't peak. But he translated well, but then it fell off really quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was old age, but I mean, you can't replicate what he did at such a young age coming out of Bellingham, of all places. It might have been the Bells. Coming out of number one draft pick, translating that to 19. It's like he was the kid. He was LeBron.
He was LeBron before LeBron.
Right. So
he lived up to all the hype.
He did.
Sweet. I still think he's got the sweetest swing in baseball ever.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. But in terms of stats, I think he could have been up there. Maybe if he took the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa route.
No. That's why we love him. He was clean.
Clean kid.
Did we get into number one?
Number one.
Bo Jackson. Remember when?
I'm sitting in front of my TV, and this is back in Moses Lake. I was probably 4 years old, and I'm watching an All-Star game. Bo Jackson takes, might have been Mark Langston, might have been.
It was in Anaheim.
I think it was.
Yeah.
He takes him deep, and he does one of these, just sits and looks. And I look at my dad, I go, who's that? He goes, that's Bo. And I go, can I get Bo's shoes?
What did Jerry say?
Jerry goes, oh, there's like $80. We'll get you the knockoffs. We'll take you to Big Five Sports or whatever it was. But Bo was, if anyone's followed Bo, and I've watched the 60 for 60s and the kind of the background about Bo, he was angry. And at all times, I mean, like, he couldn't figure out how athletic he was and how much that translated. But in both football and baseball, I mean, you can't complain about Bo's career, but you're right. I think he would probably, to me, he's still probably one of the best athletes of all time.
And it's the hip replacement that he hurt. And what Howie Long would describe him the best, Bo's statistics, it was like roughly 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns in 4 seasons, which doesn't seem like a lot. But Howie Long would say he would come with no preseason, no training camp, get there in like week 4 or 5, and immediately he'd be running people over, running for 100 yards. He said it was the craziest thing that he ever saw. Cool. He went from season to season, sport to sport, and just dominated.
So if I had to break him down to, okay, who is he in the NFL? He's Jim Brown, mm-hmm. probably. And who is he in baseball? He's probably a more athletic Kirby Puckett.
Yeah.
So if you take both of those careers and meld them together.
Or is it Mike Trout? Trout hit for a higher average. Kirby right. Puckett. Let's go Kirby Puckett.
Let's go Kirby. You take Kirby and you take Jim Brown. You meld them together.
Yeah.
That's probably an accurate depiction of Bo Jackson. Now, could he have been Mike Trout, and could he have been, you know, someone even greater at the running back position? Who's that? LaDainian Tomlinson or something like that from like a statistical standpoint?
Tevin Coleman. Niners, 9-0.
But you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Longer career. I think Bo is probably one of the best athletes of all time.
Yes. And to your point of this podcast, the injury that happened that limited some of his potential. Great athlete. Wish he could have played a lot longer, but that hip replacement caused them to play baseball. And he couldn't really run for a little while when he was hitting homers for the White Sox. He went Royals to White Sox.
And he can't even get through TSA pre-check.
No.
Sorry, Bo. He needs to get clear.
Yeah, he does.
All right.
Should we get into the last segment?
Everyone's favorite segment.
My favorite segment, Bold Predictions. WST, Bold Prediction. Hashtag WST Bold Predictions. We haven't done this in a while. I'm excited to get back to it.
We haven't. All right. Let's my bold prediction here. So we've seen some on the injury note. My Blazers. Zach Collins.
Ooh. Zag.
Zag. Yeah, there's a lot of ties to the Northwest. Early shoulder injury.
Yeah. He was playing well. Career high in points before he got injured.
Here's what I see about Zach. He's going to come back. I think the Blazers have a lot of, between Hassan Whiteside, between Nurkic potentially making his way back. He'll come back, be a playoff spark. He'll propel them to the Western Conference Finals again. Okay. Blazers, Western Conference Finals again. Bold prediction.
That's your bold prediction. Okay. I'm going to stick with basketball. I'm going to come a little further south in my jurisdiction, Los Angeles. Paul George signed with the Clippers. He's hurt. He's going to come back in mid-November. He's going to tag team along with Kawhi and triple team along with Sweet Lou. And you know what? They're going to win the NBA championship, and he's going to be NBA MVP of the finals. Bold prediction, Paul George. Let's go. What up, Palmdale?
Wow. All right. My next one is bold prediction. We're talking about injuries.
Players coming back from injuries.
Cam Newton. We've seen Kyle Allen. I believe it's Kyle Allen. For the
great first name.
Phenomenal first name. Big Ben. I don't know if I want to tie myself to him, but Kyle Allen for the Panthers show pretty well. Does that mean is Cam expensible or dispensable?
What do you think about that?
I don't know. So here's my thing. Cam is, as I've seen him play with injuries, he's the type of guy that will play with injuries. He doesn't seem like himself. So if I'm him and I look and say, all right, the Panthers, I'm probably in the, I think he's in the last year's contract.
Yeah.
Where he says, if I come back, I'm not proving anything. People know my worth. They've seen me. I think Cam goes to a team in
Does that, he play this year?
No.
Shut down.
If I'm him, I'm done. All right, you can cut me, fine. I'm going to go find a team.
I'll be all right.
Yes, I'll be fine. He's made enough money with the Panthers, and then I think the Panthers have moved on with him. I wouldn't be surprised if Ron Rivera may be on his way out next year, too.
Riverboat Ron?
Yeah, the transition lenses may transition to just playing poker. I don't know. So here's my thing. Cam needs to find a team that he wants to excel with. He's got enough money throughout his career where he says, all right, I want to go win a championship. I don't think the Patriots are going to adopt him.
Is Brady leaving?
No, Brady's not leaving. That's my thing. You got to find a team that can win. You got Seahawks.
What are their options?
Well, who's missing a quarterback right now?
Tampa.
Jameis.
I mean,
give me another
Minnesota.
Give me another team. No, I think Kirk Cousins is fine there. So here's my thing. So you look at a team like the Raiders.
Ooh.
So
your boy Carr.
Yeah, exactly. Carr may or may not be on his way out, but you give the idea that John Gruden wants to bring in someone dynamic. I'm not saying, I don't think Cam's in the peak of his career.
Yeah.
We've seen that, right? He already took the Panthers to a Super Bowl. What I do see is Gruden saying, come in, we'll try to figure it out, and we could use you potentially. You're not going to be the lead, depending on how Carr finishes out the season, you may not be the lead quarterback, but we're going to want you.
You're saying Cam and Carr will play together. I just want to clarify your bold prediction. Yeah, because you're wavering here. He's going to lead a team, but he's going to lead the Raiders from the second string?
Exactly. clipboard Cam. He's going to make $7 million a year. And
for the record, I'd like to know your bold prediction.
And it's going to be like kind of Larry and Balky.
Perfect Strangers?
Yes. It's going to be Larry and Balky. Derek Carr, Cam Newton sitting there, and they're going to be fine. Actually, they're going to be better than fine. Raiders, next year, first year in Vegas, will make the playoffs.
That's your bold prediction.
Bold prediction.
We're going to stick with football. We're going to go to the Bay Area. This player is not currently hurt. He wasn't hurt this year, but he was hurt last year. And you know what? He's going to take the 49ers to the Super Bowl. I'm talking Jimmy G, bold prediction, cotton candy, sweetest gold, Niners going to Super Bowl. There's my bold prediction. Jimmy G bounces back. He may or may not date a porn star after the Super Bowl.
Wait a second. He's already bounced back. Could we say that? I mean, he's led a team to 8-0.
This is bold predictions. My bold prediction is the second half of his bounce back year. It's the Super Bowl.
And he dates a lettuce star. I don't know if that's...
I don't even know who that is.
I actually don't want to name a correct
answer. I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
Yeah, I don't want to name an accurate question at this point. All right.
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, Big Ben and K. Wen, WST _ podcast, social media. Catch us wherever you can get your podcast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, as well as Spotify.
YouTube, we're live. We're sending clips up there from our live shows. Check us out. Subscribe. Listen. Download.
Boom.
Boom. So, story I didn't tell. Randy played professional baseball 13 years. He called the disabled list, the DL, the drinking list.
The it's white, like, white collar list?
It's like, what do you mean? It's like, you know, we just travel, take some grounders, get some fly balls, and it's like your unpaid vacation. The DL. I want to be on the DL for work right now.
I do too.
I can't do any forecasts or no spreadsheets, like, hey, no Salesforce.
My right arm. I got a torn labrum in my right arm. I can't perform. How good would that be?
Full
forecast? I can't. I'm oblivious to that.
Full salary? No, I can't do that, boss. I'm on the DL. Wow.
With my current job, I think I could make that work.
Really? I need to come work for you. What about our intern? We need to put him to work. He's out there drinking right now. He should be editing this podcast.
He should.
Yeah.
Where's our intern?
I don't know. Let's go drink with our intern.
Boom.